You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to my couch, as you always are, here on Wednesdays. We're 11 a.m. here at Pacific Time out in California, and wherever you're at, we're going to have a great talk today. I do have a special guest, and I'll be introducing her in just a little bit. But you know, something that I think a lot of us really need to work on is unresolved trauma. I think everybody has some kind of trauma. It may not be super traumatic, as in possibly you were abused when you were young, physically or verbally, or, you know, your parents had a violent divorce of some kind, or, you know, anything that may have caused trauma, accidents, you know, issues that really stayed in our brain. But where does it go in our brain, and how does it affect us later in life? And we're going to find out more about that. Now let's bring her on, my special guest. There she is, Denise. How are you, girl?
I'm really great. What a beautiful introduction, because what a great way to explain what we're trying to do here.
Oh,
right? Where does it go in the brain? Where does it go in the body?
Exactly. And I think, you know, I think a lot of people, Denise Colette Lamoureux, by the way, right here with me, I think a lot of people really, when they go to therapy sometimes, and I'm not putting down other therapists, believe me, and you are one of the specialists who deal in trauma. But you know, I think trauma sometimes is overlooked, and or, you know, when we're doing therapy sessions, it is overlooked because it's somewhere buried in the subconscious. And I do want to talk about that in just a little bit. But I'd like to introduce you and get your bio, if that's cool with you. Let's do that. Let's do that right now.
Okay. Well,
we are going to be talking about Denise Colette Lamoureux's Colette Technique of Core Healing of Our Trauma. So it was created by Denise right here. And it was her own quest for healing from childhood trauma and addiction that she's going to share with us. And apparently she realized that in order to have a different life for herself, she needed to create a different future. And I always love that saying, and that's beautiful, Denise. And after extensive studying and inner work with various trauma experts and gurus, Denise created an amazing healing technique, and she's going to tell us more about that as well. So it's how to deal with unresolved issues. And by the way, at the end of the podcast, Denise has promised that she's going to conduct a short session on her healing technique. So there we go. All right. Do you have anything else to add to that before we jump in?
No, let's jump in.
Let's do it, and welcome once again. I can't wait. This is going to be great. I always like to find out about my guests.
Yeah, let me tell you a little bit about myself. I loved what you said in the beginning also about the trauma, because trauma can also be what didn't happen.
Yes.
Right? Oh, so working parents trying to put food on the table, the child comes home, feels lonely. Nobody loves me. Nobody's here for me. I'm abandoned. And there's really nobody causing the trauma.
Right.
Right?
Right?
Absolutely. And I studied, well, you'll hear in my story, and we can talk about this a little bit.
Uh-huh. After,
but Dr. Gabor Mate, who's a world famous trauma doctor, he talks about how he was a two-month-old Jewish baby in Hungary, Budapest, right before the Nazis invaded.
Oh,
and his
mother
called the pediatrician.
Yes.
Can you come and see Gabor? He won't stop crying. And the pediatrician said, he will. But I just tell you, all my Jewish babies are crying.
Oh,
Jewish
my gosh.
Babies are Hitler. What do they know about genocide? Nothing, right? But if my mother's not safe, I'm not safe. There's your trauma. And here's a big one. If my mother's not happy, I'm not good enough.
Oh,
I'm not lovable.
Exactly.
I don't make my mother happy. And
that's
how many mothers?
And your dog just agreed.
Yeah, she just agreed, except she's really I'd rather go out. But
she knows what's going
others
on.
Have had, you know, postpartum depression or been exhausted after pregnancy, they're not meaning to cause a trauma at all. But it happens.
No.
So this is what happened.
No, exactly.
I owned a restaurant in Connecticut for 26 years. That's what I did for a living. I bought it in 1989, 29 years old. Women didn't own restaurants. Very few women owned restaurants back then, never mind a 29-year-old girl. And I had gotten married and divorced, and I had two young babies. And so it was me and my restaurant and my kids. And after a couple of years, I started to do really well. I started to make some great money, and I got myself this house in Westport, and I had the Mercedes and the ski condo. And on the outside, everything looked great.
Yes.
Inside, I was a mess. I suffered from anxiety, panic attacks, never felt good enough. Always waiting for the other shoe to drop, never pretty enough, never skinny enough, you know? And
yeah,
that's
a lot of people.
Exactly. Western medicine couldn't help you.
Right, right.
So I found Chardonnay. Oh my goodness. Chardonnay changed everything.
Yeah.
So, Now I'm becoming even more successful. I'm doing the local television cooking segment occasionally. And I'm starting to become an alcoholic, like my mother, my father, my brothers, my sisters.
You had it in your genes. Yeah.
Right. Although there is actually no gene really for alcoholism, but there is a gene for hypersensitivity. I know everybody thinks but it's epigenetically passed down, right? Sure. The propensity towards addiction is much more an escape.
Yes. Yes.
And so here I am. I don't know what to do. So I start to go off in search of Eastern medicine.
Yeah.
Now, you know very beautifully that in 1996, 2005, Eastern medicine was voodoo.
Yeah.
Right? If you wanted to study, you went to the backwoods,
right?
But I did it. And I studied Reiki Master and shamanism and mediumship and you name it, I studied it.
Yes.
Never wanting to be a healer. I just wanted to feel better.
Right.
And one day, the building behind my restaurant, which was my office, my liquor room, my food storage, got struck by lightning.
Oh,
burned to the ground. I didn't tell you didn't know that. Yeah. Got struck by lightning and burned to the ground. But again, Doc Michelle, it's 2005. We're not talking about divine intervention.
Well,
in the building for zoning.
Hey, I think it was.
Yeah. So it was totally divine intervention. So I rebuild this building for zoning, comes out completely wrong.
Ooh.
It's beautiful. It's just beautiful. And I don't know what to do with it.
Yes.
Because now I know I can't put food and booze in it.
Right.
And without doing a thing, the next thing I know, I have a wellness center. Yes. I have no furniture.
Wow.
I have no name, but I have a wellness center.
Wow. So no more restaurant. No more restaurant.
I'm owning both. One's on one side of the parking lot and one's on the other side of the parking lot.
Good idea.
And I own the property, so I own the parking lot.
Sure.
So all of a sudden, in about 3-4 months, I have healers coming from all over the world. We're doing fire poojas now. I've named it. I've rented furniture. Yeah. And finally, I bought furniture. And I've got an official wellness center. And it's really rolling. And it's lots of fun. Gobs of fun.
Sounds
but I can't stop drinking. And I'm not getting better. Right? So I sell the restaurant because I say, okay, maybe I can't stay sober owning a bar.
Yeah.
And I go off to India. And I'm gone 4 or 5 weeks. I come back from India. I drink the whole way home. And I say, I'm missing something. There's just something I'm missing. I'm not getting better. And I've traveled the world. You know, I've been Reiki'd at and rattled at and everything. Therapy. And I went online and I came across a gentleman named Dr. Gabor Mate.
Oh, yeah.
World famous trauma addiction doctor. But at the time, he had just done his first TED Talks. And so he wasn't, you know, famous at all. He was just up and coming. And I went, oh, my God, this gentleman understands me. He knew everything about addiction. He knew everything about trauma. And that was all I needed. I sold the wellness center. I sold the property. And I spent 2 years traveling the country to every trauma conference, every recovery center that Dr. Mate spoke at. I worked at a recovery center for 4 years.
Wow.
But everywhere the talk,
amazing,
I just
did it
myself. in the education of trauma and addiction. And then I started to get into brain and neurobiological and started to study, you know, Dispenza. And I studied with an oncologist in New York City who was very cool, who also did Eastern medicine. And I came back here. And I really had to heal myself because I had tried everything for years.
Right.
And I did.
Exactly.
And I healed myself and I couldn't believe it. And so I started to do it on my friends. And then I started to do it on some of the people that I still wasn't a healer, right? Because when I owned the wellness center, I was running a business and promoting healers. So I started to do it on some of the people. And then I was like, you've got something here. So I went to a friend of mine who was always sort of like a mentor. And I said, can you check this out? And she said, you got to trademark this. This is really spectacular. Yeah. And I've been doing it for 10 years now in private practice or in large groups or in speaking engagements, which I'm coming out to LA a week and a half from now to do a speaking engagement at an event a friend of ours is doing.
Mm-hmm. You'll be at the Heal the Field.
Yes, in Santa Monica. I'll be speaking on the 28th.
Yes.
It's 27th and the 28th. I'll be speaking at 10:45 in the morning. And then I'm available to do healings there that day.
Oh, that will be amazing.
Yeah, and I think I'm in LA one more day to do healings too.
Oh, what a great story.
Isn't it cool?
So much. And I always love to ask my guests, if you don't mind sharing, what was some of the trauma you experienced while growing up?
Everything, right? So my mother was an alcoholic. My father was a workaholic and a rageaholic. Now, and my grandfather was a little creepy and a drunk and a little sexually abusive, right?
Oh, honey, I'm so
and glad. My brother was definitely mentally ill. But again, we didn't diagnose things like that back then.
Sure.
Right. And we didn't talk about these things back then.
Right.
So when I, and whether this is a gift or not a gift, when I look at what traumas did I have abandonment, you know, sexual abuse, physical abuse, emotional abuse, neglect, the whole gamut of them all. But I want everybody to understand that they don't need to have that because trauma isn't what happened. It's how you felt inside as a result of what happened. Right.
Exactly. So you felt what when you were growing up? What were some of those things that
I think mostly, well, first of all, we didn't talk about our emotions back then, right?
Right.
I think I felt like I lived in a bell jar my whole life. I think there was so much craziness around me.
Yes.
That I just, and this is exactly what your brain is going to do. So you have a part of your brain called the amygdala. And when trauma comes in, and again, I want to emphasize, I've had so many girls with eating disorders.
And
all their eating disorder started from was the mother giving them kind of funky. They say dirty looks. I just want to say funky looks.
Yes.
Little girls would eat a donut.
Yes.
When the little girl, do you really need that? Right. And so we get in the brain at an early age. Oh, my mother's going to be unhappy with me if I'm chubby.
Right.
And so it's these little things. So anyway, you've got this part of your brain called the amygdala. When trauma comes in, let's just not even use me. Let's use the simple, the mother giving the look, because I've got gobs of trauma, or, you know, the critical father or the unavailable father, or any of these things. They all get suppressed right into a part of the brain called the amygdala.
Mm-hmm.
And when these, here's two things that happen. When they get suppressed in the amygdala, you may not remember it. You may not remember that it's suppressed in there.
Right.
But you will react from it every minute of the day for the rest of your life until you clear it.
Sure.
The other problem is as soon as you suppress the amygdala, you suppress the immune system at the same time.
We sure do.
So there's where we've got our rise of asthma, psoriasis, Epstein-Barr, diabetes, rheumatoid arthritis, Lyme, multiple sclerosis, lupus, colitis, fibromyalgia, cancer, everything that we see. Think for a minute, if somebody invades my space or treats me really lousy, a healthy boundary child would say, no, out, right? But if you don't have those kind of boundaries and you don't have that right in your house, you're going to allow that. Well, think about, so there's my emotional system saying not being allowed to keep it.
Right.
Think about your immune system. What does your immune system do? When a virus comes in, it says out, out, out. But if the amygdala has been suppressing our emotions and the amygdala has been suppressing our immune system, there's our sickness, right? And as Harvard says in their 2012 study on the developing child, those these coping mechanisms that we created of suppressing our emotions or disconnecting, being in the bell jar, right? Chardonnay, today, social media, YouTube, money, workaholism. Those coping mechanisms that we created were vital as a child, but are detrimental to our physical relationship and emotional health as an adult. And we can see why. Right?
So true, Denise. And it's so
really fascinating.
True. Yes, it really is. And so what you're saying also is when we have trauma, whenever that sort of happens, but most of it, as you have said, starts in early age because, you know, we're little aware beings, although we're in that, what, alpha or theta stage?
Theta. That's the key. Only have theta brainwaves, so we really can't analyze.
Right. And so do we become numb, Denise?
Yeah.
Do we numb out and just go through the motions of our lives? Is that
what you're saying? A beautiful way to put it, because what do you think ADD is?
Oh my God.
Right? What do you think procrastination is? You know, these are coping mechanisms.
Yes.
So my ADHD is incredible, but it works for me. You know, I read books at the same time.
Right.
Think about that for a second. Mom and dad are fighting. I'm going to take my attention out.
Oh my goodness.
Mom and dad are good. I'm going to bring it in.
Yes.
I'm going to take it out. I'm going to bring it in.
Yeah.
And that numbness, and use that numbness as an example. If we're numbing out as kids, well, then what's going to happen when I have my first beer?
Oh, my gosh.
What's going to happen when I have my first joint? Right?
Right.
Wow. Numbness beyond.
Yes, exactly. It's a self-soothing kind of, I'm zoning out. I don't have to feel, of course.
I don't have to feel. And that's the only reason why I drank the Chardonnay. I didn't want to feel what I felt, but I didn't understand that what I felt didn't have anything to do with me. It happened with everything to do before I was seven. Oh. Even Aristotle said, show me the seven-year-old and I'll show you the adult.
Oh my goodness. That's right. What a wise thing to say, of course.
Yeah.
And so throughout our lives, we're being triggered by the same situations or feelings that we have. We're being triggered by other people out there in the world, whoever they may be, partners, friends,
co-workers. Absolutely. Think how many women we know who are in what we might classify as, and they might even classify as, an unhealthy romantic relationship.
Yes, and men too, who choose, you know, women who are super dramatic and
critical husband or a critical wife, either way, right? I can guarantee you when we get in there, we're going to find that that was their mother or their father.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
And that I believe it's Harville Hendricks who says we're going to marry one of our parents to get the conscious things when it was a child. So let's talk a little bit about how that works. So let's look at the brain for a second and understand pretty much three predominant things. Let's just imagine if right now, Michelle, a bear jumped out at us. Our brain would say, oh my God, it's a bear. It would send energy to our heart, right? Our heart
in here. Right.
Right. Back to our adrenal gland. Our cortisol levels are going to rise and we're going to run. And if we fall and break our ankle, we're still going to be able to get up and run, right? The way a mother can lift up a child. But what if your kid, you never know when the bear's coming home? What if your kid, you don't know what the kind of mood the bear's going to be in? You can activate in that survival mode every minute of the day.
Right.
And to me, that's like having your car in neutral and flooring the gas. Oh. Something in the engine's going to break. So we take out a carburetor, we put in a new knee. We take out a knee, we put in a new knee, right?
Right.
We're feeling the symptoms, not the cause. So what we do in the Colette technique is we find out, why is your foot on the gas pedal to begin with? And I get it off. And then we want to look at freeze or fawn. So our brains are programmed to fight or flee.
Yeah.
But where were we going to go and who were we going to fight with? So our brain's got to reprogram itself.
Exactly.
Freeze or fawn. Numb out. Freeze. Alcohol. Freeze. Disconnect. Disassociate. Freeze. Fawn. people pleaser. I'm going to put everybody else's needs before mine.
Oh, right.
Absolutely. Exactly. And our brain is going to run on that program. So who am I going to marry? The person that I can please. And I'm just going to keep trying to please that person and please that person without ever thinking about me. Right? And
that is huge. I mean, that is really,
because we do it in our work relationships, our friend relationships, our romantic relationships, and then we do it to ourselves.
We sure do.
We think
we absolutely do.
Yeah.
And then at some point, what I find with patients and, is that as we get older, we get a little bit more aware of these things and dysfunctions and, unhealthy relationships and why we feel so bad still, et cetera. And what happens is we start feeling a lot of anger. And I think the anger, maybe you can agree with me, Denise, is towards ourselves for not standing up. I'm a certain age now, I'm an adult. And,
instead of hating that person, I hate me. And I use that word hate. I always say Einstein said no conflict can be resolved at the same frequency, the same consciousness, the same thinking in which it was created. So I'll use Hawkins' frequency scale, Dr. David Hawkins' frequency scale a lot. And when you look at the frequency of anger, the emotional state is hate, because a 7-year-old isn't going to be able to analyze, I'm angry.
Right.
They're going to be like, I hate. Right. And that's what they say. And so we turn it on ourselves. I hate her because I didn't speak up for me.
Oh my gosh. Right. Exactly. And we're angry and we do turn it on ourselves and then we numb out again because it's, we don't want to feel, but yeah. And we're left what? With anxiety and pain.
And low self-esteem and self-hatred. And then we don't sleep well because we're so mad at ourselves and the anxiety picks us up in the middle of night. And it's just that same cycle over and over again. And I think the most fascinating thing about it is I watched me do it again and again and again and again.
Sure.
Right?
And it's awesome to be an observer, and say, wait a minute, something's not right here.
But if you don't understand that your neural networks, your brain programs are running on, I'm not good enough, I shouldn't speak up. Even look at simple things like, do you remember we used to have timeout?
Oh, gosh,
I think that was more like our age as mothers, right?
Right.
But what are we saying in timeout? We're saying, you got angry. I don't want to deal with it. Go sit over there. So the message to the child is angry children don't get love.
Yes. Yes.
Right? Of course. I have to suppress my anger.
Sure.
Love.
Sure.
Exactly. And then again, like you said, we turn the hate upon ourselves. And I always want to emphasize to people that it isn't just the emotional relationships that we have. It is important to see the physical destruction that we do to our bodies.
Right. It's so true.
I mean, there's more meds out there right now for every single solitary thing. There's so much anxiety. There's so much stress. There's so much fear. And a lot of it is our own brains suppress that emotion.
Yeah, it is. It sure is. Exactly. That's what we do. We push it down and then all these feelings come up. And I think in helpful groups, certain orientations, AA, NA, and other such support groups are really wonderful because people can really understand what you're talking about in terms of how they really turn it back on themselves and how the self-forgiveness is so important. And understanding.
I always say to people, if something happens and on a scale of 1 to 10, you go to a 20, there's trauma.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Right? And that's the best way to look at it. Why did I overreact?
Right.
Because there's trauma.
Of course. Do you think, and this is, there are a lot of studies done. I just wondering, as a special therapist you are, do you think that a lot of people who have what are defined as personality disorders, that we call it in the axis 2 cluster B, such as narcissism or borderline or histrionic or, any antisocial personality, do you think a lot of those are caused by trauma or
100%?
Okay.
100%.
So, I mean, so what makes them so different, I guess, from other people in your mind?
That brain again,
who may not exhibit those.
Yeah, let's look at the brain for before the age of 7. First of all, especially before the age of 5, that's when the brain is developing. We only have an unconscious brain. It can analyze. It doesn't begin to analyze till between 6 and 9 when the child will question Tooth Fairy or Santa. Prior to that, I absorb everything is true. So shame, which is the lowest vibration, right? Shame. Shame says I'm bad.
Right.
So if I'm bad, little by little, what does it matter? But let's look at the neural networks. So you've got 80 to 100 billion neurons in your brain. You have 60,000 thoughts a day. So if I start out with a brain that's full of, let's go under 5, I'm bad, right? And I keep growing in that environment of I'm bad. And like you said, the anger and the frustration, all these neural networks don't have a sense of self to connect to. So if, let's say this is, I'm just going to make this sort of a network.
Sure.
And here's I hate me. I'm not good enough. I'm fat. I'm ugly. Nobody likes me.
Nah.
Same vibration. They're going to glue together. And that is what's going to run in your brain. And then just like lighter fluid, it's going to pick up more as it goes along. And the older it gets, more until I'm crazy, until what I'm defining it to me myself is crazy.
Right.
I used to have such violent outbursts.
Oh,
I never harmed anybody.
No. Well,
but me probably. But I couldn't imagine where this immense amount of rage came from.
Right.
I couldn't.
Well, you shove it down and you have so much frustration, right? And then the triggers happen from other people as we get older that really, you know. You
think about the pressurizing and the isolation and the isolation and more. You know, we live very untribal these days. We live very much in isolation. We're not supposed to live the way we live.
Yes.
And I think that it doesn't surprise me these days that many people's buttons get pressed.
Oh my gosh.
They just lose it.
Oh, it's so true.
Right? And who's caring? And I love what we do in the world and not to get, this isn't political at all.
No.
I love what we do in the world to help other people, but I do think that we forget to spend a tremendous amount of money on our youth.
Oh my goodness, yes.
And that if I had $1 billion, that's where I would put it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? By the way, everybody, in case you just showed up here on the couch, my special guest today is Denise Colette Lamoureux, and she has created an amazing technique for healing trauma and other issues, because I think once we heal the trauma within us that's been shoved down and unresolved, some other issues come up that we start to heal and look at and self-observe. It's called the Colette Technique of Core, healing our trauma. And she actually, because you promised to do sort of a little piece of that healing technique at the end of the show. So don't go anywhere, everybody, because we're going to be doing that. She's going to show everybody how it works. And I love the way that you combine your technique. And we'll talk about that in just a little bit. Speaking about techniques, Denise, you know, you said that you had gone to numerous therapists, different types of therapy, you know, the talk therapy and the cognitive behavioral therapy and the humanistic therapy, and yada, yada. And you said it just didn't really work to heal your trauma, right?
Well, I think the most important thing to remember about trauma is, again, it isn't what happened. It's a reaction. It's a reaction. It's how you felt inside as a result of what happened. And so the best way to say that is if something happens to me and the same experience happens to you, but your mother's there to say, oh my God, honey, that was awful. Let's get out of here. Let's go to lunch. It's, you don't have trauma.
Right.
And it's that process. Talking about what happened as the present day Denise
is
going to make a difference. There was no one there to take care of the younger Denise. So we have to go back to the experiences that happened for just a couple of seconds. But we have to go back there with the present day self. Dr. Mate says the essence of trauma is disconnect and disassociate. So to heal the trauma, we must reconnect and reassociate with the present day self. And Dr. Peter Levine talks about trauma not being what happened, but being what happened without an empathetic witness. So we bring the empathetic witness, because quite often the people who people who are causing the trauma are the people who are supposed to be the caregivers. Right?
Right.
And so we can talk
about exactly what's going on. Exactly. That's all we know. And that's how we achieve neural networks.
We need to go back to the brain wiring that's saying, this is what's happening. I'm bad. I'm not good enough. And we need to reconnect them with a higher vibration. And that's what we'll do in session. And you'll see how that works. And there's trust then built by the neural networks or inner child. So when people say inner child work, to me, it's neural network work. It's the exact same thing.
Insane. Exactly. And by the way, I want viewers, listeners to know that you and I did one of
these. Yes, tell them how you felt.
It was amazing. Last week, Denise did a trauma healing session with me, and it was just very freeing, because what I loved about it is it involves relaxation, a lot of visual imagery, a lot of feelings and emotions that come up with those visualizations, and tapping into early experiences that perhaps we've not really tapped into, and just sort of, they're like what we call flashbulb moments of trauma in our lives that are not comfortable. And you work with, and you worked with me, with people to really kind of tap into those moments, and then taking those little separate moments that pop up and working with those, and then cleansing and healing and loving that child within. And I wanted to thank you so much.
And notice that we did that in an hour.
We did.
That was great. We got through the whole thing in an hour. And that's the beauty of this work. And also what I think, I'm still fascinated by it.
Yeah.
I also think what's fascinating about it is because it's done in a cellular memory sense, it doesn't return.
Yes.
And what I loved about you, one of the things that you said, and I think my clients say this all the time, is you think you know where you're going to go back to.
Yes.
But you were like, oh, I hadn't thought about that at all.
Exactly. Where did that come from?
Didn't think that was going to pop up.
Right.
Because those are the things that are suppressed.
Right.
And we want to go in very gently and very quickly and transform it. And then go back and get another one, transform it. And then go right to the higher vibration and wrap it up. Mm. So we're going to I think we should do it.
Let's do it. But we still have some time left to ask a little bit more questions, maybe like 20 minutes or so we have left.
Great.
So maybe in the last 15 or
perfect.
That would be really cool, because wherever you're listening from or viewing from, hopefully you're not driving.
You can be. It's okay. We can make it work. Yeah.
Yeah.
I did a healing on somebody going down an elevator.
I love it. I love it. Let's go down. Hey, and the movement probably helped too. So
maybe. I don't know. He was just crying and I was like, can I help?
Right, exactly. So, I think that that's really profound that, again, we're unlocking the cellular memory. And you said you had studied, excuse me, I have a little cold. You'd studied with Dr. Joe Dispenza and went to some of his workshops and all that.
Yeah, I took one of his classes and I went to one of his workshops, and I really was fascinated by the brain and the neurobiological. And this was sort of just as I was coming out of 2 years of trauma study,
Right.
And I went, oh, now I see how.
There you go.
Exactly. That's kind of what the work is. There's a little bit, maybe I pulled a little bit from this Eastern. Maybe I pulled a little bit from this. I pulled a little bit from this. It was what fascinated me the most. And then I just kind of put it all together and really fine-tuned it and worked on it. But I think one of the things you and I talked about was the research, and the results that I have had with my client has been extraordinary to me. To see their health change, to see their marriages change, to see their children change. And it is really because if you look at it, let's just forget trauma and ignore all that. Let's just go to energy, right? We are energy and we do emit an energy. And so if I'm anxiety, I'm going to send that off to my children, right? Like I had mentioned earlier. Yes. If I'm not happy, my children are going to think it's them. My children are much older now.
Yes.
And it's what we give off in the world. And I think there's so many people out there that are trying to become more than what they are, right? Whether it's career-wise, whether it's money-wise, whether it's love-wise. But something keeps stopping me. Something keeps stopping them, right?
Right? Yes.
Again, trauma is just the Greek word for a wound. So if I tapped your arm right now, no big deal.
Yeah.
But if you had a big open wound here.
Right.
Exactly.
Ow. Exactly.
It's going to be excruciating. And then think about the wounds that we don't see. They get scar tissued.
Of course.
Right? They get hardened. We don't even know they're there anymore. And those are some of the things that we need to bring in for healing. But I love when I do a session and somebody calls me like a week later and says, you'll never believe I met the love of my life.
Yes.
I just got I have a client. She was an attorney. She could not get a job, She had lost her job, couldn't get a job. She's now got the dream job of a lifetime.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And I don't want anybody to think it's hard or that we have to dig up the past. You didn't feel that way in session, did you?
I did not. I was observing. I was more like in that hypnagogic state of relaxation.
That's exactly what everybody is going to be.
I went back there and I just was observing and I was sort of feeling, and because you worked with me too, how did that feel? You know, I was talking about, just to let some folks know, I was talking about one of the experiences I used to have. And I was a teenager. I would come home from studying and I was exhausted. I was on a swim team. I was very active. But I remember I was living at home still and I would come home and I would take a little nap and I'd start to have these out-of-body experiences. And I'd start... And then the sleep paralysis would take place. Yeah. Couldn't move. So we worked with what was behind that sleep paralysis, which was so cool. And that, the whole idea of paralyzed, you can't speak, you can't talk, you can't express yourself. You can, you know, and there you go. You know, it was all behind that, which was brilliant. Speaking about which, I had a question, another question I wanted to ask, because I get asked this a lot. Is it healthy for us to go back to the parent, if they're alive or not alive, and about the trauma and tell them about the hurt we experienced from them?
Absolutely. Sure. Absolutely. I wouldn't do it until you've done the healing work, because you're going to go back with the anger. You're going to be back in the same, again, Einstein, no conflict can be resolved at the same frequency in which it was created. So we change the frequency in which your experience is created. And now you have a new resting vibration. Now it's time to go back and be able to say that. And I think it is a really good idea, because my mom passed and I really don't think I didn't realize how much it affected me until she was gone, how much my childhood affected me until she was gone. Again, I grew up in that buck up generation.
Sure.
And I was pretty angry.
Of course.
And there was no one to blame.
Yes.
So I kept blaming my passed on mother.
Why not?
I would have liked to have said, what were you thinking? What were you thinking?
Yes.
Right? But I don't think it has to do, but I think that that's a matter of your decision for what state of peace you want in that relationship. But it won't affect your ability to heal, whether you decide to or not.
Okay.
The healing is going to occur. The Colette technique is going to change your life. For that, I know. That I don't have a doubt about. What you decide to do with that It's really up to you.
Okay.
But it's not going to affect your healing either way.
Okay. That's great.
But it's a great question. It's a really great question. Because I think some people, they get that discovery.
Right.
Well, let me ask you, for you to be the scientific research to send to your listeners. You didn't feel at the end of our session that you needed to go back and have a conversation with anybody, whether they're passed on or not, right? You felt it was all clear because it's in you that it needs to be clear.
Yes, exactly. And I'm, you know, at my age, I just, you know.
Yeah.
I kind of already worked through and had those discussions that were, you know, lovingly, the elephant in the room discussions with the family members who were, you know, sort of, I think, causing some of the issues. So they didn't get it. That's okay. I wasn't outrageously inappropriate. It just felt good for me to have that closure and release. And it was kind of ego-based, but. Anyway,
and I think quite often all of us, and again, trauma is just a word for the word, so let's just talk experiences that affected us. Yeah. All of us keep looking for the white picket fence.
Sure, we do. Exactly.
And if we keep going back to where there never was a white picket fence, we're never going to get the white picket
fence. No, it's really true. And it's Denise, I want to get to this because we only have now about 8 minutes left before we...
Let's do it then. Okay, everybody, nice straight spine. We got to do a quick one.
Okay.
Okay, close your eyes. Nice straight spine. Breathing in some white light from above. Bringing it all the way down the body. Letting it go right out into the earth. And we're just going to call in all energies of unconditional love and the highest soul form of each and every one of us here today. Let's create above our heads a beautiful emerald green light. Breathing in the energy of the green light. And on the exhale, send the green light down the body, letting it go back into the earth. Creating a very beautiful sky blue light above the head. Breathing in the energy of the blue light. And on the exhale, send the blue light down the body, letting it go back into the earth. And then very, very violet purple. Breathing in the energy of the purple light. And on the exhale, send the purple light down the body. We're going to use the neck today as the place where the trauma is sitting, but there's plenty. Breathing in a gold pillar of light from above, bringing it down right to the neck, and exhaling out the back of the neck, 1,000 pinpricks of gold light. And then repeat after me to yourself. Body, take me to the moment that this started. Show me what happened here. Body, show me now. And notice what's coming to mind. What's coming to memory. What are you seeing? What are you thinking about? See if you can see how old they are, he or she. How old is she? Where is she? Is there anybody else with her? And then I want you to bring the present day self right into that room. And I want you to freeze everybody there except the younger version of yourself. I want you to go over and I want you to sit on the floor next to her. I want you to ask her, how is she feeling? Is she scared? Does she know what's going to happen? Is she afraid she's going to get hurt? And I want you to tell her that you understand exactly how she feels and that you're going to take her out of here, that you're now here to protect her and that you owe her an apology if there's ever times that you make her feel this way. And I want you to scoop her up and I want you to bring her to a waterfall anywhere you want it to be. I want you to place them down, her down in the waterfall. I want you to let the water pour all over her. And I want you to tell her again that you understand that if she's felt neglected or if she's felt abused or if she's felt nobody loved her, that you apologize because you know you can make her feel that way too. And that you would love her to reconnect with you. But you know that she might not feel ready to. And so we want to make a deal with her. If you reconnect with me and I start to behave in any of those unkind ways to me, I want you to stub my toe. And when you stub my toe, I will realize it's you. I will realize it's a younger version of myself. And I would never want to say terrible things to the younger version of myself. I would never want to abandon the younger version of myself. I would never want to abuse or hurt the younger version of myself. So I will tell you that I'm sorry. I will acknowledge it. And I will promise to do something wonderful for us by the end of the day. Now, right now, you should all be feeling some tingling going through your body. That's the trauma has been released. It's been released. And now what's happening is there can be no vacancies in your body. So the brain is refilling with a higher vibration because you just are putting love in now. You're talking to her lovingly. Your body's now filling. Your hemoglobins will increase. Your body's now filling with love. And breathe her into the center of your chest, remembering you made that stub toe deal because she will stub your toe. Let yourself rinse off into the waterfall. Begin to walk out of the waterfall. Notice there's a golden ray of yellow light coming down from above. Let the yellow light bring you magnetically up into the central sun, letting yourself sit like a Batman or a Batgirl signal in the middle of the central sun, letting the universe and the unconscious brain know there's a new me. There's a soul me. There's a destiny me. And now let that sun turn about 180 degrees. It'll face out on the night sky, the stars and the galaxy. I want you to see a star that you're really attracted to. I want you to very gently climb out of the central sun and float over to the star. I want you to put your arms in it, your legs in it, your head in it. And I want you to remember that it was said in ancient times that every star in the sky is the soul of one of us down here. And that some of us shine brighter as to lead others out of the dark. That's who you want to be. You want to be the big, bright, shiny star that leads your children out of the darkness, that leads your family out of the darkness, that leads everybody out of the darkness. And move your star forward 3 or 4 feet and notice all the other stars that are following you. Those are going to be your kids, your grandkids, your great kids, and the generations to come, and all the people you're going to help. And let a rainbow come directly to your star. Climb out of your star into the rainbow. Let all the colors of the rainbow merge through, recalibrating every one of your energy centers at this new vibration. And whenever you're ready, you can open your eyes, coming back into your body. So that was just a bit.
I want to stay there, Denise.
Everybody wants to stay there. And just to let everybody know, my website is denisecollette.com. And on there is a bunch of videos, trauma, yes, addiction, relationships. Feel free to take a peek. It'll be really helpful.
Oh, wow. That was beautiful.
Thank you. And just to your listeners to know also, if you'll stub your toe.
Yes.
So make sure you listen. And if you find yourself craving any funky foods, eat them. It's the child that we just
right. Oh boy. Oh goody. No, yeah, but it is. It's nourishing the good stuff. It's not numbing, but it's savoring what you deserve.
Well,
right?
She woke up. And she reconnected with you, so she might want a Twinkie.
Oh, okay.
I went through a Hostess cupcake phase when I was doing this work. I went through a hot dog phase.
So cute. I love it.
Yeah, because she's awake now. She's connected with you. And that's what we want. We don't, so there isn't a need to disconnect anymore.
Right. Oh, that's beautiful.
And there isn't a need to pick up a drink, and there isn't a need to go shopping, and there isn't a need to push your feelings down.
Numb yourself. Exactly. Denise, thank you so much for being here. Denise Colette Lamoureux. Denise Colette Lamoureux, thank you so much for teaching us and just sharing with us. And imagine that being, brought out to a 1 hour session where you have the ability to really go deep with Denise, really use that technique. And just, it's almost like an alpha theta brainwave state where you're just tapping into those old feelings. So it's the Colette technique of core healing our trauma. And blessings to you. It's always great to talk with you. And I'll look forward to seeing you at the Heal the Field event on July 28th
in Santa Monica.
Oh, that'll be awesome.
It'll be great. It'll be great to see you. Thank you so much for having me.
You too, sweetie. Thank you and blessings to you. And thank you so much for all you do for others.
Thank you.
All right, everybody, have a great day. And as I always say, take care of yourselves first, and then you'll be great for others. Thanks for watching. Bye.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.